Welcome to Come Together San Diego, a new live local show on K-Praise designed to explore what unity in the body of Christ sounds like within our communities and beyond. Don't just listen to it. Be a part of it. Now, here's your host, Bible teacher, writer, broadcaster, and lover of God, Kaz Taylor.
Hey, I'm smiling inside and outside right now because we have a major show for you, and you're going to absolutely love it. In fact, it's going to be, you know, we got to say, I said major, but let's just say an admiral show, because today is the birthday of the U.S. Navy, born in 1775, 243 years old, and my guess is extremely younger than that.
I'm not 243 years old. That's right.
Barry Sappington, Cross Point Life Church. And Barry, good to have you as my co-host for this hour.
So good to be with you, Kaz. Thanks for the offer.
Are you ready to buckle up and have some fun?
Let's do something here.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that when I visit Barry's church, Cross Point Life on La Mesa Boulevard,
yeah.
Cross Point Life Church, I see something going on there that it's unusual in the church environment, because he's got an understanding, a growing understanding, I might add, of what the kingdom age is supposed to be about. And he applies that in the church environment, but he also, if you watched him on the street, he does that every place he goes. He's a kingdom guy. And I said, Barry, let's bring you on and have you talk about your perspective of the kingdom age and what it's starting to look like. And I know that's part of your heart cry, isn't
it? You're super kind. Your words are always so kind to me, but we really do have a passion to see the kingdom of God advance in San Diego, not just do church as normal or what we've always understood it to be, but to really ask the Father, show us revelation, show us who you really are, and then direct our steps. And we'll be faithful to follow that.
Yeah. Well, so you know, one of the things that I say, my listening friend, and you've heard me say it on the air, and that is we're in a transition from the quote-unquote church age into the kingdom age. And really, there was nothing significantly inherently wrong with the church age. It was like it was an early platform to get to the next platform, and this platform is heading into the eternities. And so a lot of the things that we learned, Barry, in the church age have value if they're properly applied.
Correct.
So where do we go from here? I mentioned before that, you know, you and I and other believers, we're on a learning curve on this, because we haven't experienced that quote-unquote church, I mean the kingdom age yet. And so we're learning as we go, and God knows it's okay to make a few mistakes as you have the right heart.
Yeah. I have absolutely no idea what we're doing most of the time. Right?
Well, yes.
I mean, we do, but the reality is when you're going into territory you've never been to before, it's challenging because there aren't models.
Yes.
But we have models in America, but they're not the models that we necessarily want to emulate.
Yes.
Because it's more about, you know, it talks about in the scripture, seek first the kingdom of God. I'm afraid we've sought some things that aren't kingdom, and we've gotten results, but I'm not sure it's the kind of results we're really looking for.
Explain yourself a little bit further.
I think we've done pretty well in America with building a large church. We have some of the larger churches we've ever had in America, as defined by a gathering on a Sunday. In the Genesis chapter 11, it talks about the Tower of Babel. And in my estimation, it was never the intent of the church to look like the Tower of Babel. In other words, what does it say? It says that they built a tower up into the clouds, right? Mm-hmm. For what reason? The purpose was to make themselves known.
Yes.
Not God known.
Yes. Well, you know, I love meandering through scripture, and there's one of my favorite verses here, and I was just thinking of it was getting ready to come to the radio studio today, and it's in Hebrews 11, 24, and it says, or 20:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and do so exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. A pastor that I had years ago, his name is Dr. Graham Truscott, and he had a real innovative way of looking at the scripture. He says, forsake not the assembling together. A lot of times what we do in the church mentality is we gather together. Mm-hmm. He goes, gathering and assembling are two different things.
Interesting. That's
so
really
so gathering together, you just, all the people are kind of coming and they're all in the same environment and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
But assembly, as if you had a gift, and when you open the gift, it says some assembly required. Mm-hmm. All the pieces are gathered, but they haven't been assembled.
Right.
So the kingdom age is taking what you've got and properly assembling them.
Perfect.
So each one is functional. But as a fivefold minister, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the obligation of these people is to say, oh, there's a person who carries a unique flavor, I think they would fit well in this environment doing their calling. And so the challenge is, instead of a church environment where a pastor will go, okay, I have a church mentality, you'll fit in my worship team, right, or you'll fit in caring for the kids or youth ministry.
Yeah.
It's what's the person's larger calling, and let's structure our lives so that we can help that person ascend to the fullness of their calling. Mm. It's a different flavor.
Well, it is a different flavor, and I think that's the challenge that we have. It even says in that passage in chapter 11 of Genesis, let's make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad. Isn't that interesting? Lest we be scattered abroad. Isn't that really what the church is supposed to be? Not just a gathering, but a scattering.
And so, yeah, that's exactly right. But one of the, obviously, when God will send us out from this environment, but he wants to send us out equipped and not ill-equipped.
Correct.
And so part of what we do in the local church environment is to properly equip our people and then send them out. You know, one of the things that's it's a danger from a pastor's standpoint is to see people leave the church. they go, because they're, you know, not only I've invested in this person, but there goes revenue stream as well.
Right.
In all honesty, that's part of it. But the truth of the matter is, what God wants to do, when the church was prolific in the book of Acts, there was some persecution, mm-hmm, and the church separated, but they still had the precepts, mm-hmm, and what happened is they multiplied greatly.
Right.
And so if we have a mindset that as God encourages somebody to go out from us, don't force them to go out and say, you're no longer part of this, but say, you know, you are very definitely still a part of this. Come on back and we'll nourish you, but go do your thing. And as long as it's God's thing through you, we're right alongside you.
So good, man.
But it's a different mindset sometimes in the church environment.
You better be very comfortable in your skin if you're leading a congregation today.
Yeah.
Because if you really believe in the sending part of the ecclesia, of the church, then they're going to leave and they're going to do what you've asked them to do. And that's to go and love people outside the walls.
Yes.
And they may not come back every week, but you've got to be okay with that and just really understand it's a family. We're building family here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And that's one of the things I have to brag on you again, and I may do that periodically because that's one of the things that I see of you. You're a sender out. Mm-hmm. You've got activities going on outside the church environment. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was telling you a while back, there was a weekend that was a special weekend a few weeks ago. I said, I'm going to go visit Barry and Cross Point Life Church. I go there on a Sunday, and I go and stick my nose, and there's nobody there. I'm going, you know, it changes my doctrine on the rapture theory. Only Cross Point Life people believe.
Eschatology.
So I had to laugh, but the point of the matter is you were going outside the walls.
Yeah, we did. We did church in the park.
I love it. But you're inclined to do those kind of things because you have a real heart for outside the four-wall environment.
Very much so.
And we've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes in this segment. What word of encouragement? We've got pastors listening to this. We've got parishioners listening to this. We have unbelievers. You know, some of those unbelievers are unbelievers because they tried the church out, and it didn't suit them for some reason or another.
So sorry for that.
What words of encouragement do you have for each one of those three types of people?
I'd say, first of all, if there's a pastor or leader listening tonight, I encourage you to seek the Father's heart. Don't just simply seek the methods of man. Don't just seek church growth for the sake of church growth. Ask the Father, what's our assignment for our local congregation? And it has to be more than simply gathering people inside the walls. Outreach is good. Getting big is good. Don't hear me say that big is bad. It's not. But I believe today, small is the new big. I believe God's trying to teach us something about loving the one. And I hope we can fuse this in and out of our conversation today.
We will.
Because that's really where I think God's taken us as the church, is to figure out how we can really love the people in the public square, in the marketplace. So pastor, truly, truly, not that you're not praying already, but go after the Father's heart and ask him, what is your assignment for that location, that locality?
And different pastors will have different assignments.
Absolutely,
we don't all have to look alike. In fact, we shouldn't.
And we don't have to be involved with every single thing that's going on in the region to be a part of something that's unified.
Yes.
Because unity is not uniformity.
I like it, Pastor Barry Savington. Okay, talk to me, talk to the pew sitters, the people that go to church faithfully on Sundays. What does the kingdom hold for them that the church age mentality
didn't?
Yeah, it's
super easy. I would say to them, understand this very simply. Number one, I'm sorry for any kind of hurt or brokenness you've experienced inside the walls. Because typically it's, I'm the pastor, here's my vision for you, do as I'm asking you to do, get involved with my church, and we'll be good. How about this? How about allowing God to speak to your heart about what's in your heart, what's in your hand, what dreams do you have inside of you? We want to come alongside of you, and we want to put wind in your sails and say to you, your dreams are important, and we want to help you find fulfillment in your dreams.
Yes. Well, and actually, this is a synergy proposition, because at the same time, parishioners are beginning to really get this. I my vision is bigger than sitting in a pew on Sundays.
Correct.
The same time, God's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, teachers are starting to get that similar message, mm-hmm. and hopefully these two people groups will coincide
come
with
together.
One another, that the pastors and leaders of the church environment and the parishioners say, hey, God's doing something.
Yeah.
Here's my vision.
Yes.
And a leader goes, you know what? I haven't heard it that way
That's
before.
Amazing.
Go do it.
Yes.
Now, just spend the next minute or so talking to those who have, maybe they set foot in a church on a Christmas, or they set on Easter, or a birth dedication, mm-hmm. or the passing of somebody.
Yeah.
So, but they don't want to go back because it's just something that makes them nervous.
Yeah.
Speak to them about the kingdom age in the next minute or so. We'll deal with this as we go through the show. But what's the word of encouragement to these people?
The kingdom is not outside of you. It's inside of you. If we understand who we are as sons and daughters, we are not just simply Christians. We are Christians. We're Christ followers. But we are sons and daughters of the King. And when we understand our identity, there's so much value and purpose in that, that when you come into an organized setting, an institutional church, my encouragement to you is make sure that that family is family, number one. And secondly, will they believe in your dream? And thirdly, will they support the fact that you have something to offer, not just simply as an usher, greeter, children's worker, youth worker, but you actually have something to bring to the table that's valuable?
Yes.
Please, I encourage you, seek that out. Find a family that will love you for you.
And if you've looked around, you need to, years ago, you need to start looking around again, because the church environment, particularly in San Diego, is changing.
It's changing.
There are a lot more ministries that are really involved in kingdom mentality. Mm-hmm. And, just because you're a pastor or a leader doesn't mean you don't learn.
Right.
And so if you're a person that's doing exactly the same thing that you did in the past and is garnering less and less results, you need to maybe rethink that, because God's making a transition from the church age to the kingdom age. Mm-hmm. And so my listening friend is, who've just passively graced the doors of a church periodically, look again.
Yeah.
Look again. You might be surprised.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pastor Barry Sappington, you're going to join me for this entire hour. We're going to talk more about the kingdom age, but you're also going to bring in some of your own peep from Crosspoint Life, and they're going to give us their perspective on what the kingdom age is beginning to look like from their perspective and how it's impacting a lot of different people. So you will stay with me, yes?
Yep.
Okay,
I'm
my
here.
Listening friend. We're here for this hour and beyond, so do not go away, because Pastor Barry Sappington of Crosspoint Life Church and Kaz will be right back.
This is Come Together San Diego, the new live local show on FM 106.1 and AM 1210. K-Praise. More Come Together San Diego is just moments away.
Hello, San Diego. This is Rick Sines from Red Seal Ministries. I just bless you and ask you, just receive the love of the Lord at this time, this open season we have in San Diego.
Now, more of Come Together San Diego, the new live local show on K-Praise. Here's Kaz Taylor.
And we're back. I can't tell you how highly I embrace Barry Sappington of Crosspoint Life Church in Mesa. So we're talking about a topic that should be near and dear to your heart, my listening friend. It's called the kingdom age. And this is, a lot of people banter that word about. It's kingdom this, kingdom that. But do we really understand what kingdom age is? And we're learning. We're learning, because God is transitioning us from where we were and the comfort zone that we were in church mentality into a kingdom mentality. So we're learning our lesson. And we will have your executive pastor, Craig, Craig on the line. But while he's dialing in, let's talk just a little bit about, Barry, the scripture talks about in Ephesians, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And this is a fivefold ministry whose purpose is to help everybody just enter into the kingdom age. Mm-hmm. And a lot of pastors and churches don't really embrace that fivefold mentality.
Yeah.
What would you say to these people?
Well, I'd say they're afraid of it, number one. They probably have had a bad experience at some point in their journey with the whole concept of an apostle or a prophet or whatever the language might be. But reality is this. The reality is that it is in the scripture.
Yes.
We do have apostles. We do have prophets. We do have evangelists, pastors, teachers. So my encouragement to them is to open their hearts and eyes to what God is doing. and don't worry so much about the label, but be more concerned about the function
yes.
of that role and look to that.
Wouldn't you say that a lot of people who are acting as quote-unquote pastors yes. are really apostolic
yeah.
in mentality?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there are maybe some people that are functioning as pastors that more be more evangelistic
no
in nature, and some may just be teachers. But the point of the matter is this, as much as we say for people that are parishioners to come to understand their calling, how much more important it is for pastors and leaders to yeah. really come to understand theirs, and that they're not called to do everything themselves.
Correct.
And so when you realize that and you have people to your left and to your right that carry a piece of the puzzle, mm-hmm. As people, when they look at what God is doing through in your area, they see you as a part of God's big picture.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think growing up in a denomination that believes in the fivefold, but yet doesn't necessarily embrace it to the degree that I think we should, we're afraid of it. And I think that I was taught growing up, you're called. And immediately that equated to being what? A pastor.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So for the first time in many, maybe ever in my life, the last few years, I began to embrace who I truly am mm-hmm. as an apostolic leader, not so much a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a paradigm shift in my own heart, in our congregation's hearts, in life. And we're still trying to figure out what it all looks like.
Yes.
But we're not afraid of it.
But one of the challenges, of course, you know, sometimes people will go, yes, I'm an apostle. Thank you very much. And that's my title and that's who I am. And one of the things that we really have to be aware of is it's more how you function than the title you bear.
Correct.
And so there are a lot of people that are functional apostolic mentality mm-hmm. that they don't call themselves apostles. And that's fine.
Right.
And, you know, I like to do this so I don't cause a lot of trouble in the body of Christ. I say, are you a leader of leaders? Yes. Okay. And I go in, under my breath, I go, apostolic mentality. But you don't, sometimes you don't even need to say that. Are you a leader of leaders?
Yeah.
And you know, if you say it and you aren't the leader of leaders, everybody's going to know because you're not leading anybody. There's nobody behind you.
Did you say you like to stir things up? No question. You do.
but the truth of the matter is you function in the office yeah. and let the yeah. titles go by the wayside.
It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be who we are.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think it's time to bring Craig. He's one of my favorite people next to you when I go to Crosspoint Live.
Thank you very much.
Because you guys are in the thick of things and you're looking around at people and what's going on. Make sure our hearts are ready
yeah.
to deliver
yeah.
the word or do a lifestyle ministry. So why don't you introduce your executive pastor here and
yeah.
we'll have a little bit more fun.
This is one of the most amazing individuals you'll ever meet. Craig Osborne is our executive pastor at Crosspoint Live Church. He basically makes me look amazing, and he makes Crosspoint look amazing.
Yeah, but Barry, he doesn't have to work that hard with you.
Maybe not, but he is an amazing person. You're going to enjoy talking with Craig.
Hey, Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Hey, fine. We were having maybe a little bit too much fun. We need you to bring us back down to the real world. You know, we're talking about kingdom mentality in a church environment, and the mention early on in the first segment was that we're all learning our lessons here, Craig, and one of the values is having somebody alongside you that shares the vision for what the kingdom is to look like. And I've had an opportunity to observe you in action, and you're a guy that doesn't do the title, you do the work.
Yeah, he does.
So give us an overview from your perspective, from an executive standpoint, who comes along as a right-hand guy for Pastor Barry. What does kingdom mentality mean to you, and that's part of your calling, not only on Sundays, but every day of the week?
That kingdom mentality, I think what that means to me is that it's not about me, that it's about other people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the role that I'm in now, it's, you know, I make it about Pastor Barry. And like he said, like I really do take it as my mission and part of my job to make him look good. Think about what does he need? I think about what does the church need? How can we do things, you know, a little bit better, even behind the scenes, the things that people don't see? How can things run smoother? How can we be more efficient? Through sometimes systems and processes, how can we love on people and help people feel more connected than they are? Even the guests that walk through the door for the first time, whether they're from out of town or, you know, they're shopping for a new church and they're coming to check us out. How do we help them, you know, feel more connected? I think that's part of what it is.
And you've done such a great job with that, Craig. You've just rocked that so extremely well. We're very proud of how you and Renee have carried that responsibility. And one of the things that we've been dreaming about together is how can we take what we call the ecclesia, the church gathered, church scattered. How can we take this and begin to do something that's we-oriented, like it's a collaborative effort with the local leaders and not just the church leaders, but local leaders? Tell us about some of what we're doing together with that, Q Commons in particular.
Yeah, we are hosting an event called Q Commons on October the 25th. So in just under 2 weeks. And what it is we are gathering together local leaders and people of influence and people that just they want to see transformation within our cities and within our communities. And we're partnering with an organization called Q, like the letter Q. And they are helping us facilitate this Q Commons. And Q is an organization. They're really what they're about is they talk about stay curious, think well, and advance good. And so they want to advance good in the world, in our communities. And so they organize this event, Q Commons, to gather people together and to talk about how can we advance good in our communities. And the role that they play outside of just organizing it is they gather together three what they call national presenters who have 9 minutes to talk to us about a specific topic. This year's Q Commons is all under the title or the theme of the power of we.
Yeah.
So what can we do together, and how can we do things that are more powerful together than we are apart? And so this is one of the things that we're doing is participating in this.
And who's the three local leaders, Craig? You have three national ones. Who's our local leaders?
We have Scott Harrison, who is the founder and CEO of Charity Water.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have Jo Saxton. She is a leadership coach, a church planter, and an author. And then we have a local boy, Bob Goff. And he's also, an author and does all these incredible things. He's written Love Does in his recent book, Everybody Always. Just fantastic. And so they're all going to talk about that. The power of we.
And then who's the three people locally that's speaking?
Well, we are super excited to have Dr. Bill Wells, who is the mayor of El Cajon. He's going to speak to us. We have Danny Womack, who's part of our staff. She's speaking. And then as well, we've got Miles McPherson from The Rock San Diego, who's going to come and speak.
So prolific names.
Yeah.
It's God's really done something cool in bringing together some really talented and influential people to speak to us. And so what we've done is we determine the talks or the topics for our local speakers by sitting down. We gathered a team of people together and we started to brainstorm about what are some of the things that we face in our local community that might be, not necessarily extremely unique to us, but that what we're facing. And so we came up with three topics. The first one that Dr. Bill Wells is going to speak on is mental health and mental trauma.
Yes.
And he is a mental health, expert. And he's going to talk to us about what that looks like in our communities. It's a huge topic today.
Perfect.
Danny Womack is going to talk to us about homelessness and how homelessness doesn't look like what it used to look like. It's not just that, the person that maybe we pass in the inner city who's, sleeping in a tent under a bridge somewhere, but it really encompasses everything from students who are couch surfing to families who are living in their homes and to senior citizens who have nowhere to go.
Hey, so Pastor Craig, we got 30 seconds left. Can you do us a favor? 30 seconds. Tell us the importance of collaboration within the church and the region. 30 seconds.
Actually, 28.
28.
the importance is because I don't have it all together. God put part of it in me and part of it in other people. And so when we all bring our parts together, we can do something pretty amazing.
Yes. Here's what I'd like to ask. Generally, the plan was to have you on for this segment. Could you stay for a few minutes into the next segment after the commercial break? Pastor Craig Osborne,
100%.
Because you made a comment at the very beginning of this when I asked what your task was, and you said to make Pastor Barry look good. But I want you to revisit that based on what you said, especially about this Q Commons and the we, bringing the we together. It's as you revisit that, and I've already observed you, that you do this, it's not only to make Pastor Barry look good, but you help make everybody in the church environment not only look good, but feel like and believe that they're being active within God's calling for them. So we'll talk just a little bit more about that in the next segment, if you would stay with us. Is that okay?
That's very cool.
Reverend Barry Sappington. My listening friend, I know it's starting to boil and get real fun in here. And so we want you to stay with us and come back for this next segment. And after the commercial break, we will be right back.
You're listening to Come Together San Diego, the new live local show on FM 106.1 and AM 1210, K-Praise. Don't just listen to it. Be a part of it at 866-577-2473. You're just moments away from more Come Together San Diego on K-Praise.
Hi, I'm Jay Ahn, president and founder of Harvest International Ministry in Pasadena, and I want to make an apostolic declaration. God loves San Diego, and I declare revival and transformation of San Diego. I declare heaven on earth in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Come Together San Diego with Cass Taylor, FM 106.1 and AM 1210, K-Praise.
And we're back, and you know, we had visited with Executive Pastor Craig Osborne with Cross Point Life Church with Barry Sappington, my co-host for this hour, and he made an interesting comment, and we elaborated a little on it, and I didn't give him a chance to further color that color book page. And he talked about at the beginning of his segment that one of his tasks is to make Pastor Barry look good, and I got to tell you that making Pastor Barry look good isn't that difficult,
it's
really.
A challenge.
So, no, it is not.
You know it is.
So you're with me still, Craig. Aren't you with us still?
Yeah, I'm still here.
And I just kind of expanded your definition of what you are. And I know this is part of who you are as well. But not only make Pastor Barry look good, but your heart cry is to make everybody who crosses the threshold of Cross Point Life in La Mesa look good. That's part of the difference between a church age mentality and the kingdom age mentality, where you know you're building a church, but Christ is building the church, and it includes all different kinds of people. Some of them grace your doorstep on Sunday mornings and beyond. I want to talk just a little bit about that, Craig, and I'm going to let your senior pastor guide this interview. And I'll take
Pastor Craig, I mentioned before, you're doing such a great work, and you and your bride are just quality people. But why don't you share, just in terms of what your sense is of what the local church should look like or can look like when we're working together?
My sense on what the local church should and could look like when we work together is, as I mentioned, just as we were closing off that last segment, everybody bringing their part, because we at Crosspoint, we're not called to do everything. We're called to do something specific. God's given us a specific mandate. And we need to bring that to the table. Mm-hmm. But the church down the street from us, they're going to have a different mandate,
right.
And they need to bring that to the table, because we can't all be everything to all people.
Correct.
And that's okay. And we have to be okay with that.
Yep. Yeah. And it seems like most congregations that we know of are not really living that out well. It's more about what everyone else seems to be doing. Let's emulate them. Let's build our church to look like that church. But what's the real fruit of that? I mean, when we have a mandate and we're living for that mandate, what's that look like?
Well, it looks different for everybody, but really, I think what it, as a general rule of thumb, it looks like significance.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
really, that's what we're all striving for. We're striving for significance,
right.
Because I think that's the definition of success. It's not how big or how much you have, but it's living out your mandate and living out what God has called us to do, because, we're going to one day stand before him, and we all want to hear well done.
Yes, yes, yes.
Faithful servant. Right.
I have to laugh at Pastor Barry on this, Craig. When you're talking about that, he goes, "This is a man after my own heart." and I love that. And my friends, what our task is to do is God will put us along with other people who are men and women after God's own heart, but they're also after our own heart too, the piece of the equation that we do. And God will put us mm-hmm. to the left and to the right of us, other people that have maybe similar but not exact visions.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that the fullness of our vision can be accommodated is with the person to our left and to our right.
Correct.
And that's the mentality of the kingdom age over the church age. A church age mentality is, this is the pastorship, here's what our vision is, and you have to fit within this, or you can't play in our environment. Mm-hmm. And that's and a lot of pastors and leaders are beginning to come to the revelation that that maybe was old school thinking, and it's time for the new kingdom mentality to take effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing about Craig, we've talked about this before. It's like when they think of Crosspoint Life Church, if we can create a culture where they don't immediately go, oh, that's Barry Sappington, or that's Craig, or that's Danny, or that's whomever. But they go, oh, that's Crosspoint. They're the ones that love people well. They're the ones that have made Jesus famous in La Mesa.
Right? That's right.
Yes.
Any thoughts on that, Craig? You better agree or else you're in trouble.
No, 100%. One of the things that we've done, and was spearheaded by Pastor Barry, is even when it comes to our speaking team, he's kind of helped raise myself and my wife up, and between the three of us, we comprise that speaking team. But one of the things that we don't do is we don't tell people who's speaking on a Sunday morning. So that's not about, you know, it's not about a man or it's not about a woman. It's about what is God doing? And again, it's everybody bringing their parts. And so the focus isn't on one person, but it's on Jesus, really where it should be. And we're following him.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, my listening friend, here's the deal. I know the mentality of a lot of you about that you may have been burned in a church environment, or you may have had somebody offend you and you haven't felt like it's appropriate for you to go back into that environment. That's the enemy working against you, because the biggest danger to him is people being side by side and people looking on them and saying, behold how they love one another. Mm. And God's plan is to bring his church in unity together and in oneness together. And if you're trying to emulate the guy down the street who's got a bigger church or maybe has bigger offerings or whatever, you're missing the mark. Right. Who are you, and what can you do to impact God's heart? And not only for the pastors and leaders and different people in the church environment, but also those who attend the church environment. What can you do, and what part has God called you to play to synchronize with other people? My friends, if you've been disillusioned in the church environment, you need to start looking again, because God's stirring churches and leaders for this as well. And you might just find yourself at that intersection of being a part of something bigger. It's called God's singular church instead of churches, Barry.
Yeah, no, that's so good. I think that's definitely our passion, is to really make Jesus famous in San Diego. And not one church, although we belong to a congregation, but to really put wind in the sails of pastors and leaders and churches.
Yes, and
together.
In our next segment, would you mind majoring on that topic, what one church looks like in San Diego? It's a bunch of churches together, but it's just one church because it's the one body coming together.
Correct.
Any thoughts on that, Craig Osborne?
No, I'm in agreement. We are all working together. We're all on the same team, and we have to do better at learning to work together to be that one church in San Diego, working on the same team, linking arm in arm, and advancing the kingdom of God and pushing back the kingdom of darkness.
Yes, and Pastor Barry, when you were talking about the October 25th Q Commons event, Barry was giving me the signal showing seven mountains coming together. And so, Barry and Craig, why don't you elaborate in the couple minutes we have left in this segment what seven mountains is all about, and what the church in San Diego County has to do with this seven mountain mentality.
Yeah, I'll touch on it, and then Craig, you can finalize it. But it's really not just seven mountains. It's the kingdom of this world that we're to impact and touch. But there are seven specific mountains that are kind of listed as the main mountains. And that's really what Q Commons kind of does, look at those different places of culture. Craig, touch on that.
Yeah, they focus on education and family, politics, business, media, the family, right, and then religion. And they're really, what we're trying to do is to have influence in all of those areas and bring the principles and the power of the kingdom to each of those areas, where in some of them we've kind of in the past have let those go as a church and kind of backed away. And even at times backed away from things like media and popular culture and politics. And it's time for us as as the body of Christ, to move back into those areas and to begin to influence them in a godly way and to bring the kingdom values and kingdom culture back into those areas.
Yes. I'm going to make a statement, and you guys answer it if you would. It seems to me, and as an observer, you know, when we talk about seven mountains, we can just say seven different areas that speak to life and survival, basically. And some of the areas the church over the years has decided not to be intimately involved in, obviously the media, but fortunately there are some very conservative, very powerful media voices out there that are beginning to make major inroads in things. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the mountains that we've been a little reticent to jump into. But also government. I mean, it's really, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with politics or government. Yeah. God says he wants us in these things, because how else can it be positively affected? Of course. And then the education, the school system, mm-hmm. we've kind of handed the baton over to different school boards and things like that. And all of a sudden our children are getting mistaught. So we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. So Barry started out, and Craig, jump on in.
Yeah, we have neglected our responsibilities as a local church and as the body of Christ, the ecclesia. And it's time that we take our rightful place, because when you really think about ecclesia, where two or three have gathered in his name, there's actually a jurisdictional authority that we have when we gather together in Jesus' name. So we need to start functioning back in that role and taking the authority we have to see Christ's kingdom come,
yes,
as will be done on earth as is in heaven. Craig.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you're in those areas and you see things that are taking place that run against, you know, kingdom values of purity and righteousness and justice, you know, and you know, standing up for those that don't have a voice, and we see those things taking place, then we need to band together and begin to say, no, not that way, and show a better way. And we lead by example. But then even as we gather together, you know, with two or three other, you know, believers in those places, we need to pray and to decree and to push back, you know, on the darkness that's happening. And as Pastor Barry was saying, we rule in that area in the supernatural, spiritual realm, and then we set the example and we set the direction in the natural realm.
Yes. Executive Pastor, Cross Point Life Church, Craig Osborne, thanks for joining us on these two segments and giving your input here. And Pastor Barry, we're on a roll here. We're going to spend some time in the last segment pulling this all together. And we use the word one church, or instead of churches of San Diego County, I like the phrase the Church of San Diego County. So Pastor Craig, thanks for joining us on these segments. We'll be back with you.
Thanks.
God bless you. And maybe I'll see you at Cross Point Life very soon.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
See you, Craig.
So there you go, Pastor Barry.
Perfect.
I you know, one of the my favorite topics we're going to talk about in the last segment here.
Yeah.
Boy, does the hour go fast
quick.
Or what? We're going to talk about what the one church in San Diego County is beginning to look like. And I know you have some insights on that.
Yeah.
So will you share some insights in the next segment?
Absolutely. Look forward
okay.
to it.
Pastor Barry
yep.
Sappington, Cross Point Life Church, Kaz Taylor. And we've got a commercial break. But guess what, my friends? We'll be
right back.
More Come Together San Diego with Kaz Taylor is next. FM 106.1 and AM 1210. K-Praise.
This is Frank Harper, pastor in North County. We need more of God this time than we've ever needed him before. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Now, back to Come Together San Diego, the new live local show with Kaz Taylor. FM 106.1 and AM 1210. K-Praise.
And we're back for the last segment of the first hour with my co-host, Barry Sappington, Cross Point Life Church. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Kaz.
We've been having a good time, haven't
we? Yeah, we have been, yeah.
And perhaps God has been opening your eyes, my listening friend, as to this kingdom age that we are entering into right now, and how it has some similarities to the church age and to the church environment, but also has some uniquenesses there. You know, and I was thinking about when the New Testament occurred, it was basically taking the Old Testament letter of the law and transforming it into the spirit of the law. There's a similar transition happening now that the individual church mentality has their own rule book about what the denomination is supposed mm-hmm. to look like. And that's fine, mm-hmm. just like the letter of the law was fine in the Old Testament transitioning into the new. But there's a transitioning into the kingdom age now, which has less of a focus on what your different mandates are in your church and doctrine of your church, and more about blending the God's plans together. And, you know, you can still hang on to your own little doctrinal things, but it's not to separate the different members of the body of Christ across the body of Christ, not only in San Diego,
right,
but elsewhere. And one of the dangers has always been, you know, here's what I believe, that's what you believe, mm-hmm, and there's a divide here, mm-hmm, we can never come together. But the truth of the matter is God allowed each one of those different denominational perspectives, and our challenge is to how does God want us to blend those together, yeah, to be the best singular church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be. So yeah, we're talking about the topic of one church, especially in San Diego County. What does that mean to you, and what is it beginning to look like, Pastor Barry?
I just love the idea of one church of San Diego. It's a bit nebulous. I mean, what that really looks like when you've got so many different kinds of churches and leaders and pastors and organizations and nonprofits. But what does it really look like? I truly believe it's John 17.
Come on.
Right? It says what? That they will all be maybe one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me.
Yes. And Paul writes about the many-membered body, but it's still one.
Still one.
So
still
what does one. A many-membered body look like when it's still one? It means each part has discovered what their calling is, and they're functioning according to their calling exactly where they really wanted to be all along.
Right.
But we all realize that we can't do it alone, as we are members of that one body in particular.
Yeah, see, we talk about that. Unity is not uniformity.
Good.
It cannot be uniformity. There's got to be these all different kinds of kingdom expression. But with the heart that says, number one, we're going to rally around the person of Jesus Christ, first and foremost. No matter what your doctrine may be, we rally around the person of Jesus. Secondly, I think we've got to begin to honor leadership in various organizational structures, other churches, other nonprofits, whatever they, parachurch organizations,
yes,
house churches.
Yes, and you're also going into the Seven Mountain mentality, other people who are leaders of leaders in, let's say, a governmental
Absolutely.
Role that have a God mentality, or those in the educational environment who have that God mentality. And as we bond together, and it's not only each member of those different, we call them Seven Mountains, mm-hmm, if you want, but each member of that, but it is also interconnecting from one mountain to another, from the government mentality to the education mentality to the media mentality to the church mentality to the family mentality, all of this coming together, all of a sudden you have a many-membered body, mm-hmm, and you have the Lord Jesus Christ coming back for that bride.
Love that. Love that. He's purifying that bride too. He's really calling us to a higher standard about which we live our lives.
Yes, yes.
Because what so far it hasn't worked as effectively as we sometimes think it has, it really hasn't. We haven't transformed really anything. And we've got the largest, we mentioned this before, we've got the largest church we ever had in America, but we're not seeing city transformations. We're not seeing communities truly transformed because of Jesus.
And what would you say the main, I'll tell you my thoughts, but you tell me yours, yeah, what do you think the main reason for that ineffectiveness is?
We built our Genesis 11. We built our Towers of Babel. We built a kingdom that we expect to stay within inside the walls.
Yes, inside our walls.
Yes, inside our walls. And then we say, basically, we're doing this large event. It's got thousands of people that come. But just to do an event where people show up doesn't mean that we're bringing any kind of real kingdom transformation.
Yes. You know, and I observe, I've been knocking around in the Christian market in San Diego County for decades. One of the things that I've seen in the past that I'm sensing a difference in, and that is, you know, okay, let's get together and let's just all do an event. And every pastor goes, you know, I can kind of get into that. But once the event's over, everybody's autonomous, doing their own
Correct.
Thing. And what God wants to do is plant the seeds of that level of oneness or unity so that you keep the relationships
yeah.
going. And even though it's a person of a different denominational flavor yeah. than you are, you stay connected with one
Correct.
Another. And all of a sudden, you have a piece of their puzzle, they have a piece of your puzzle, and we realize we can't do it by ourselves.
Yeah, we're doing that. We're co-laboring with our good friends up in North County, Craig and Carlette Muster from the Awakening International Church. And we're doing a school that's being hosted at Crosspoint that's called AIR, the Academy of Influence and Reformation. So their congregation, our congregation, actually Rick and Maria Sains,
yeah.
our signs from Red Seal Ministries are also participating
yes.
in that. And it's amazing what happens when you come together. Tonight at Sunrise Church in East County in Santee, they've got an event for
healing of cancer,
event, right?
Yes.
Where they're hoping for a few thousand people to show up and pray for God's will to come and touch the lives of people. So it's a collaboration.
That's right.
Not one church. It's the church is becoming one by esteeming him first and then honoring one another.
Well, I'm going to make a statement here. Now, you can either say, that's dumb, Kaz, or that's valid. Okay, here's my observation on this. The more we are willing to work side by side with somebody else of a different influence, the greater the percentage of effective healings,
yeah,
the greater preponderance of the presence of God in an environment. You know, and so one of the things that we have misapplied in our single church environment is we think we have to do all these things and we need to have God arrive and he hangs there. But he's more likely to hang forever with us when we're one body.
Yeah, we want habitation, don't we?
Exactly.
We don't want him to come and go. We want to be with us all the time.
Exactly.
And I think we're really making headway towards that, Kev. We got a lot of work to do. But if we can just stay humble,
yes,
we can stay just in love with Jesus and love one another, I'm convinced that we can bring his kingdom here,
yes,
in such a way that San Diego becomes prototypical of what can happen in any country.
That's
or
right.
Any city across our country.
A prototype, actually.
Yeah, I believe that.
And I think my friends, my listening friends who are believers that are in San Diego County, the more we team up with others that are not necessarily our denominational flavor, and we believe God for healing of a person. Say you're doing, yeah, a street ministry. I love watching what's going on in San Diego, because when a team is going out to pray over people with cancer, Maria Sines and Rick Sines are among them at, mm-hmm, Red Seal. They go out, but it's not necessarily only their group. It's people from all over,
correct,
San Diego County that are believers.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, you know, when a person gets healed, they go, who do I thank?
Yeah.
Don't thank us. We're just obedient servants. And we go to different churches.
Yeah.
Thank the creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
What would happen if we became the greatest advocates of everyone else's churches? Like, as a pastor, I am absolutely the greatest cheerleader for every other church in my area.
Now, say that again, because that's an unusual phrase coming from what would be in the church environment, a pastor. You know, you learn in seminary not to do that. Because,
yeah.
So say that statement again.
I want to be the greatest cheerleader I possibly can be for my family at Cross Point, but for every other church that's doing something of significance. I want to bless it. I want to honor it. And I want to declare, hey, that's my friend. That's my brother. We're working together to see Jesus come to San Diego.
Oh my. But the truth of the matter is that happens. None of the individual churches can actually handle the harvest.
No, it's true.
I mean,
true.
It's going to be so gigantic, but we just have to have that mentality of working in harmony with,
yeah,
one another. We've got about a minute left in, yeah, this segment, so I'm going to have you do a declaration in this minute,
yeah,
to our listening friends. I want you to declare kingdom mentality,
yeah,
and Holy Spirit invading in a way like never before, not only in San Diego County, but within the individual inhabitants, whether they be pastors or churches or parachurches or parishioners. I want you to speak that into the county right now.
Pastor Father, we declare your goodness and kindness to the city and region of San Diego. We thank you for what you've done historically. We thank you for what you're doing today, and we thank you for what's going to happen in the days and years to come. And we speak peace over our city. We declare your kingdom would come and your will would be done in every principality, every region, every community, every congregation, and truly in the lives of the body of Christ, the ecclesia. And we ask you, God, to give us a new heart for the people that we come in contact with every day of our life. The John chapter 4, woman at the well kind of love, that we would love the one so well that be attracted to you, Jesus, because of our love, and that together we can see something happened that's never happened in San Diego before, and that you'd open our hearts and our eyes to what the kingdom truly is.
Wow.
In your name, Jesus, we pray.
Barry Sappington, thanks for joining me as a co-host for this hour. We've had some fun having
you. I love you, Kaz.
I love you too, Barry Sappington.
Thank you, my
listening friend, you may want to visit, check out Cross Point Life Church. You might get a flavor that you hadn't really expected before and might blow you away, but you'd have to deal with the sense of humor and of this guy, Barry Sappington. I love him. You'll love him too. Barry, pardon me for harassing you. Just
you were fun,
teasing,
yes,
you just a little bit. My listening friend, I hope you enjoyed this segment. Next segment, we're going to talk about something about the weather.
Weather.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about any of the global warming things.
Mm.
And we're going to talk about fake news
Real
and things
news.
Like that. We've got an expert here with us in the studio.
Exciting.
We're going to talk more about that. Barry Sappington, thanks for joining
Blessings,
me.
Blessings, Cass.
God bless you. My friends, we'll be right back. God bless you. And we'll be right back after this commercial break.
This is Come Together San Diego, the new live local show on FM 106.1 and AM 1210. K-Praise. More Come Together San Diego is just moments away. KPRZ, San Marcos, Poway, and K29CR, Encinitas. FM 106.1, North County. AM 1210, San Diego. K-Praise.
I'll tell the world.
Come Together San Diego with Cash Taylor on FM 106.1 and AM 1210. K-Praise.
I'll tell the world.
Hey, my friends, we are back, and I'll tell you what, I've been really looking forward to this segment almost as long as I've known this guy.
No.
I want you to meet a guy who's been a friend of mine for a long time, Gary Kelly. And
hello. Hey, how do I sound? I haven't heard myself on the radio in 19 years.
Oh, come on. Well, you've heard yourself, seen yourself on TV, though.
Different. You have to wear makeup.
Yes, exactly. Well, you didn't. I told you not to wear the makeup for the radio show. You didn't need it, but he did anyway. What can I say? You know, Gary Kelly is a name or a guy whom you would recognize when you hear his voice. You realize what he's done in the San Diego broadcasting market.
No.
Come on. I told you I'm gonna honor you with remembering the many, many things you've been involved.
I'm just honored to be here.
Oh,
I have listened to this radio station for years, and you know, to be able to walk in here and see the beautiful view you have here in La Jolla, and you have people to bring you water. I mean, you're big time.
Oh yeah, really. Thank you very much. Anyway, if you're familiar with the world of disc jockeydom, you would recognize his voice because he's been what KPRZ, KCBQ, a lot of other broadcast-related things, KSEA, which was the FM side of KSON.
Yeah, it was a little tiny FM station back in 1971 and 72 that nobody listened to.
Oh, yes, really. KSON, I'm telling you what, one of the big guys in San Diego market. But let me tell you something else as well. Is this. Gary has expanded his basically his calling. He's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
but he's also expanded his calling. You may have seen him on news kind of news show related shows, but also as a weather guy. We're going to talk a little bit about those things. But we look at the big picture in San Diego County. You know, I was talking to you before we started this segment about all the different names that had played a role in making San Diego, San Diego. And what does your mind go to when you think about those names?
Oh, gosh, there's so many of them. But it for me, it always defaults to my old buddy Shotgun Tom.
Shotgun Tom Kelly.
Yeah. I'll share a fact that nobody cares about. My real name is not Kelly.
But
say it ain't so.
Oh, my.
Oh, no. So my real name is Gary Rael, but it's R-O-E-H-L, very difficult to pronounce.
Yes.
I always felt sorry for my kids because their names are butchered all the time. And so when I was 13, I met Shotgun Tom Kelly, and I wanted to be just like him, except I didn't want a beard and a smoky
the
bear
hat. Yeah, exactly.
And I couldn't do the thing. But I really looked up to him, and I said, if I ever get to be on the radio, I'll be Gary Kelly.
Kelly, you just use that last name. It's better than the one that you were.
Yeah. And only different. I spelled it differently.
Yeah, with an E-Y?
Than he did. Uh-huh. Back in the day, they had these little top 40 surveys that list the top songs. And the day that I looked at it, I used to collect them. Had Tom's picture on the cover, and they misspelled his name. K-E-L-L-E-Y. And I said, well, and I'm going to be Gary, K-E-L-L-E-Y. So for 47 years, I have been a typo.
I like it.
So he's really K-E-L-L-E-Y.
Yeah, very good. But also, my friend, you may recognize the voice, but if you saw his face, you'd recognize the face to a guy who's been on the air doing weather prognostication and also standing in basically a soft news format.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gary.
I'm not a meteorologist, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I just played one on TV.
Yeah, you just played one on
TV. I was basically a weather presenter. I went to continuing education seminars for 10 years with the National Weather Service, NOAA, and learned a lot, learned a lot about global warming, learned a lot about the Weather Channel, learned about what people care about when they watch a weather girl or guy on television. But really, it was just an excuse for my wife and I to get away and go skiing.
You know, we joke around all the time, Gary, in San Diego County as a weather prognosticator.
Yeah.
All you need to know is one phrase, 72 degrees. In the daytime, cooling down to 64 degrees in the evening.
And then
all you do is pre-record that, and you run it for the entire time that you're on the air.
There was this comedy bit that when I worked at Channel 10, one of the engineers pulled me aside. He goes, Gary, I got to show you this. And it was a guy on Comedy Central or something, and he goes, greatest job in the world, weather guy in San Diego, six-figure income, highs in the 70s. Back to you, Bob.
And
it's kind of true.
It's kind of true. Six, of course, yours was a seven-figure income, but we won't even
know that. No, no. I was always the bridesmaid, never the bride. I was never Aloha Taylor. No, but I backed her up.
Yes. And so, you know what? In San Diego County, you've done some, I would call it soft news, not really hard penetrating news, because you sat on within some other news shows and as a stand-in person, and you gave some insights from a more soft news perspective.
Yes. I was a beggar on KPBS for money. I would beg for people, please give us your money. We'll give you this CD that you could buy at the Walmart for $12.95. We'll sell it to you for $175. Call us now, please.
Oh, my.
Keep PBS on the air. So I had a chance to do that. Used to host a show on Cox Cable called Homeview, which was kind of like a home improvement show. Mm-hmm. And that made it into six regional markets. Did that for 2 years. That was a lot of fun. It was nice to get to do something different, because I came out of top 40 radio.
Yes,
you know,
did.
I mean, I'm the guy that gives you $100 bill and plays Rock the Boat.
Uh-huh.
Or Elton John.
Exactly. So you were in the top 40 market and also the harder rock.
Yeah, well, I did
well.
Both. I kind of had a balanced career in radio. Gosh, I hope I'm not boring all of you listening. I hope you have two listeners left. But yeah, in top 40, I got into it when I was 13, 14, kind of hanging around with Shotgun Tom and Gene Knight, who's still on the radio today. He's on afternoons on Sunny 98.1. I'll always owe Gene everything, because he took me under his wing along with Tom, and they were nice to me. Mm-hmm. I was just this little kid that liked to hang around the radio stations. I used to go mow yards in Claremont, and I would take that money and take the bus downtown and transfer over to Elkhorn Boulevard to Pearson Ford on the corner of Fairmont and Elkhorn Boulevard. And I would religiously go there every Saturday and Sunday by the disc jockey, Jim Duncan. I would buy him a hot dog or a Coke or whatever, and eventually they let me start playing with the knobs, the equipment, and then they started taking longer breaks, and
then
I just became part of it. And I don't think today a 15-year-old would have that opportunity.
No, not so much.
They would say, I'm sorry, you can't come in. I mean, I have a 17-year-old son. He can't really almost get a job anywhere because he's not 18.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. Gary, one of the things...
It's your show, Cass.
Well, thank you for giving us, I'm just
a guest.
I want to switch the gears because you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, I am.
And if you step back, could you see that God played a role in bringing you in this career? Tell us a little bit about the conversion. We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but we'll use this to launch into the next segment, which we're going to talk
about. You know, I was thinking about it when I was driving over here today, that I was raised as a Lutheran.
Yes.
I went to Sunday school. My mom did all that for me. I always said my prayers at night. But I did not have a relationship. And in radio and TV, people would tease me and say, well, Gary's religious. And I go, no, I'm not religious at all. I just have a relationship. Mm-hmm. And once I realized that, my life started changing for the better.
Yes.
Much, much better. And I can talk about it more later, because I could go on and on. It's a topic I like to talk about. And you can't be in the newsroom at Channel 10. The only other believer that I worked with, two of them, was Bill Griffith and Carol LeBeau.
Yes. And both of those are remarkable believers, I can tell you.
But the rest of them were not, producers, etc. And you just kind of had to keep your mouth shut.
Yes.
It was just easier.
I want to talk to you a little bit about, see, there are a lot of different people who have different disciplines that they're pursuing. Mm-hmm. And in a similar way that you give hot dogs and soda pop to the on-air guy just to make yourself friends with them.
Yeah, I was a groupie with food.
But a lot of people who have a real heart, maybe music or whatever their discipline is, they are trying to get into that field. And I want you to be an encouragement to these people.
Oh, I'd love to be.
God has a plan for them, and maybe it's, you know, despise not small beginnings. You got into the broadcast industry with small beginnings, and God has a plan for you in your life. And my listening friend, he has a plan for you in your life as well. And just do not despise these small beginnings. Gary Kelly can attest to God, you know, intervening in his life.
And, oh, absolutely. And no, it,
and,
absolutely.
And makes you a better person that other people can be gravitate more closely to because of not only your relationship with them, but God's relationship with you.
It's very true. Well put. You know, you ought to get a radio show.
Well, my listening friend, we've just scratched the surface with the Gary Kelly.
Oh, come on.
I like bugging him because we've been friends for how many
I figured years? It out 47 years.
47 years.
47 years, but we've never had lunch together.
That's because you never would buy. What can I say?
We'll be back with more after this.
We'll be back with more after this.
This is Come Together San Diego, the new live local show on FM 106.1 and AM 1210. K-Praise. More Come Together San Diego is just moments away.
Greg Hendricks, Rock Church, East County. God is doing a wonderful work in the city of San Diego and all over the world. He's uniting the hearts of the people, but most importantly, he's drawing us back to what our original purpose is, to love each other.
Now, more of Come Together San Diego on K-Praise. Here's Kaz Taylor.
And thank you very much. And here's Gary Kelly as well, my co-host.
I like the music.
Thank you, man. Rocking on. You know, since you have been a weather guy.
Yeah. Weather presenter.
Weather presenter. Yeah. I figure you have some insights, and some of your peers had some insights too, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in this segment. We call it global warming.
Oh, yeah.
Or climate change.
Yeah, that's a word that'll get you in trouble.
Yeah, well, I want to get in just a little bit of trouble in this segment because, you know, it's important if you have empirical evidence to support things, but if you don't have empirical evidence, then it really needs to be debated, and people need to make up their own minds about things. But the whole terminology, global warming or climate change, has been holding us captive. I feel sometimes in my life, you know, I can't do that because of climate change or this, or you know, be criticized. What's your observation of this? Because you've been a prognosticator of weather for many years in broadcast. Give me some insights on this.
I can't even spell prognosticator.
I can't either, but you can say it on radio, but you don't have to worry about spelling it.
Okay, so, and as you know, I prayed before. It was nice that your last co-host was nice and prayed over us. And something that I was very concerned about with is that, you know, I haven't been on the radio in 19 years. This is quite a bit different than the type of radio that I did. This is the type of radio, if I was on the radio again, I would like to do. Do I have opinions? Of course I do. Am I afraid, though, to say those opinions? Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are to the right, you're looked at as a nutcake. If you are the extreme radical left, you're looked at the same.
Yes.
And it just seems that there's no winning. I've lost friends over things.
And it seems to me, Gary, that the divide is becoming broader as well. You know, I love the Democratic-Republican relationships of old in some ways. Of course, they were stilted in many, but there was a point where you could actually have civil discussions with one another. I think those times have kind of gone away.
Well, I guess. See, and I've only, you know, back when I was a top 40 DJ playing the hits, you know, I knew who the president of the United States was, and that was about it. Yeah. I couldn't tell you that there was 100 senators. I couldn't, you know, I didn't know any of that. The House, what's House? Yeah, I live on Moraga Avenue in Claremont. What's the House?
Yeah.
I wasn't into it. And because of it, I had a lot of friends.
Yes.
And it was just, life was just great.
Yeah.
I'm playing, you know, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Elton John. And never had any disparaging conversations with anybody. Yeah. Never lost any friendships.
Well, I want to change this.
That's changed.
It has changed, and that's very, very sad. I believe that's very sad for many people on with a left bent and those on a right bent. The ones in the middle, those of us in the middle, have real anguish about that because I have some very, very good friends on one side, and they have some very good friends on the other side. I don't want to delve into that right now.
Oh, no. And I don't either, because I don't want any letters. I don't want any. You know, I'm doing this for fun. I mean, this is an honor for me to get to be here with you.
Well, thank you.
And you know, let me tell you this way. I looked it up for you today. Define journalism, because some will say journalism is dead. So Merriam-Webster says, journalism is the collection and editing of news for presentation through the media. Writing is characterized by a direct presentation of facts,
mm-hmm,
or description of events without an attempt at interpretation.
I like that.
Now, Can we say that that's what we have today in the media?
Gary?
No.
Gary?
Yes.
You're doing the next segment now. What's going on?
No, I'm just teasing it.
Oh, you're teasing it.
So I want to take a journalistic approach, a Christian journalistic approach, if I may, on talking about global warming. I'm not taking one side or the other.
That's right.
I originally was an Al Gore fan.
Mm-hmm.
I saw his movie. I thought, I was doing the weather on Channel 10, and I thought, this guy's got it going on. He won the Nobel Peace Prize. He knows what he's doing. I'm going to get behind it. Okay, that was quite some time ago. John Coleman, God rest his soul.
Yes.
We lost him.
And he's a man who was the news broadcaster, the weather broadcaster on KUSI?
Yes. He was the co-founder and president of the Weather Channel. He was the first weather guy on Good Morning America. He was the broadcaster meteorologist of the year, 60-plus years as a meteorologist.
So are you saying that maybe...
Very well read.
Maybe he influenced you a little bit on maybe a different mindset about this weather patterns and things like that?
Because, doing the local weather, people would always ask, what's your opinion? And I didn't want to get into it. But at first, it's like, okay, I'm with Al Gore. Well, okay, then I see John Coleman's piece on YouTube, and I go, okay, now I'm with John Coleman.
Yes.
And they don't see eye to eye. It is completely different. So sadly, I think global warming has become very much a political partisan issue. Democrats, this is I did my homework for you, Cass.
Thank you, Gary.
A Gallup poll out this year shows Democrats view global warming seriously, while Republicans view it skeptically. 69% of Republicans, 4% of Democrats say global warming is exaggerated. Now look at the difference. That's close to 70% of Republicans, only 4% of Democrats. It's just the differences in the parties. No wonder we're so divided, mm-hmm. and we're so far apart. This survey was done back in March of this year, and like many issues, it's been politically polarized. Indeed, Donald Trump, president, as people refer to this president, that drives me crazy, by the way. I don't know why they always say this president. He is the president. We're not talking about a former president. He's the president. So Donald Trump is calling global warming a hoax. May have contributed to, I'm sure it has, to his widening divide and reversing the number of government actions to address the issue. This include, the U.S. withdrawal of the Paris Climate Accord, the removal of climate change from the list of top U.S. national security threats, and the elimination of the terms global warming and climate change from U.S. government websites.
Mm-hmm.
In general, as I said, Democrats view global warming seriously, while Republicans view it skeptically. And let me just give you a couple stats. Do we have a little more time
sure.
here? So 91% of Democrats and 33% of Republicans say they don't worry a great deal or a fair amount about global warming. But 67% of Republicans worry only a little or not at all. Again, the divide is so huge. 82% of Democrats think global warming has already begun to happen, while only 34% of Republicans agree. Do you see the difference?
Oh, absolutely.
50% of Republicans think that it'll not happen in their lifetime. That's 25%. Or will never happen compared to 32%. So they say about 7 in 10 Republicans, that's close to 70%, think the seriousness of global warming is exaggerated in the news. Mm-hmm. 15%, I know this is a lot of numbers here, generally say it's correct, and 15% is generally underestimated.
Yes.
Democrats, however, are much more likely to think that the seriousness of global warming is understated, underestimated. And again, they say a small percentage, 4% or less, say that it's exaggerated.
So, yeah, one of the things, I know that you've got some more figures there, but I want to talk more about the logistics of this and how this really impacts us. I'm a believer. You're a believer.
Yes.
What does all this have to do with really the state of anything? I understand that the global warming, the industry, if you want to call it that, is a $4 billion a year industry. I mean, there's a lot of money to be made for embracing global warming or climate change issues. And I want, just in the few minutes that are left in this segment, I want you to contrast Al Gore with John Coleman.
Yeah.
And see what we
Absolutely.
Come up with. Well, let's just talk facts.
Okay, we'll talk facts. Okay, yeah, this is not my opinion.
Okay.
I am just giving facts. Less than 1 degree warming since 1978. No warming globally since 1998. You mentioned money.
Now, this is John Coleman's
This is John
research.
Coleman's take on this, okay? And this isn't just his opinion. This is his research that he has facts to back it up.
As a guy who's a meteorologist of the year, what were his positions that he was honored as far as being
He was the meteorologist of the year. He was the co-founder and president of the Weather Channel.
Yes.
That's still on today.
Yes, go ahead then.
And so yeah, he has his stuff. He knows what he's doing. And you can look him up on YouTube about global warming, John Coleman, it'll come up. I urge you to watch his presentation. You decide. I'm not saying right or wrong, but he makes a lot of sense. So $4.7 billion annually goes to scientists and organizations to continue global warming research. As John said, have you ever noticed they always say, we need more research. We need more money to keep this bureaucracy going. Carbon pollution has raised the cost of fuel, electricity, and food an average of $1,000 a year for a family of four. Roger Revelle, I don't know if you've ever heard that name before.
Wasn't he with La Jolla.
Yeah, Scripps
Institute.
Scripps Oceanography. Mm-hmm. He was the pioneer and a brilliant mind on weather and climate change. He was at Scripps in 1950 to 1964, eventually UCSD. Then he moved on to Harvard, where he had a guy in his class named Al Gore. Al Gore was in his class. And by the way, if I may mention that Al Gore only got a D in his class. Either way, so Roger Revelle started it all. He started this talking about the global warming scare. In 1988, the same person, Roger Revelle, wrote to Congress and a senator saying that he didn't believe in global warming. Friends and educators knew that he was of sound mind till he passed away at the age of 95 from a heart attack.
And you mentioned the sound mind because many people who are embracing the climate change, they said he was senile.
And that was Al Gore.
Uh-huh.
He dissed him as senile because he didn't believe as he did.
Well, you know, if you do the math, you know, you said $4.7 billion
annually.
$1 billion a right. year industry. I mean, right. People are making money off of this
Absolutely.
Thing. Absolutely. And so, you know, I guess one of the things that really strikes me is I'm interested in the truth. I don't want the spin.
Right.
I don't want the spin. I don't want this to come between people of different, you know, right and left relationship. I want the facts to be the facts, being willing to deal with the facts and then continue the friendships without using this to be a dividing factor. And
exactly.
So this whole global warming thing has become a right-left thing, and that's so very sad to me.
It's just another thing to divide us even more. Do we have a little bit more time?
Well, in the next side of this segment we do, and we'll speak about this, but then we want to talk
You'll give me a little more time?
Yes, but on the other side of the commercial. You know, commercials, they pay for things.
It pays for the light bill. We appreciate that.
And so we're going to be talking about this and also the topic of fake news with Gary Kelly. As we come back, and guess what, my friends? We'll take a brief break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Come Together San Diego, the new live local show on FM 106.1 and AM 1210, K-Praise. Don't just listen to it. Be a part of it at 866-577-2473. You're just moments away from more Come Together San Diego on K-Praise.
My name is Jim Garlow. Two things. First one negative, second one positive. Negatively, if we saw the condition of our nation, we would all be in prayer. Positively, if we could see what God could do with our nation, we'd all be in prayer.
Now, more of Come Together San Diego, the new live local show on K-Praise. Here's Cass Taylor.
And co-host
Yes.
Gary Kelly.
Uh-huh.
We are back. You've heard this kind of phrase before when you go do a commercial break, and then you come back, and you go, "Hey, we're back!" And there's
hey, I'm going to say my name because you probably already forgot it.
So you can tell this guy has spent some time behind a microphone and also in front of a camera. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Anyway, we're having fun.
I noticed you're we're streaming this or something.
We're live streaming
on Facebook.
As well. Exactly.
Wow.
Oh, there. Cool. I know. You know, my
sucking it in.
My friends, I have to put up with this, but he's been a friend for a few decades, so I have learned to do that. You know, Gary, we've been talking a little bit about climate change, global warming, and truth versus fiction. But one of the names that we speak of that you hold in high regard is John Coleman. And you learned a lot about him and from him about broadcasting the weather. And so let's spend just a moment or two before we transition into the next topic in this segment.
Sure.
But just a kind of a closing note about John Coleman and his impact on you and so forth.
Well, and especially when I worked at Channel 10, because he was in his heyday, you know, and he was this, I never got to meet him. I saw him at Outback Steakhouse one time and I wanted to walk up, but I went, nah, I don't want to bother him.
No.
And after reviewing his global warming tape today, I thought, God, I wish I would have seized the moment and walked up and shook his hand.
He was an institution in San Diego County for many years, and you want to, you know, he had a way of delivering broadcasts and weather.
He was the most liked and the
most hated.
There was no gray areas, nothing in the middle with him. Either you loved him or you hated him. And every time when somebody would recognize me from TV, they would always make a comment about John Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time I was at Costco, I think, with my son, who's now 17 and a half. He was little, in the carrier, in the basket. And this very elderly lady in her 90s walked up to me and she said, "I know who you are." I went, oh, I was thinking, oh, this is so cool. That's right, I'm on TV. I'm getting recognized. And she said, "You're my butcher from Vaughn's." And I went, "Yes, ma'am. How were those pork chops?" Never said a word.
Oh, my.
So success is fleeting. So a little bit just to wrap this up with John Coleman.
Yes.
More of his research. And again, I'm just quoting what he said, because I'm small potatoes compared to him and his knowledge and his background. And this is fact, not opinion. 9,000 PhDs have signed a petition. This was several years ago. Denying CO2 is causing global warming. At last count, and this is probably 2 years old, 31,000 scientists have signed that petition. Now, again, this is John Coleman's conclusion. NASA has written to the United Nations and to Congress to please stop the global warming scare. Now, you don't hear about that on the news, do you?
No.
Again, Democrats are going to feel different, as I pointed out in these stats. You know, I just want the earth that I grew up on to be here for my kids and their grandkids, and I don't have an opinion. I've gone both ways.
Yes, yes.
I was Al Gore, now I'm John Coleman.
Well, and my listening friend, here's the deal. You know, the Bible talks about pursuing the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Yes.
You shall know the truth. And the challenge for we believers is to, you know, take what people say. You know, the scripture says, receive all things with readiness of mind, and then search the scriptures daily to see if they're so. And one of the things that we need to do as believers is, you know, hear with an open mind on both sides of the equation, if whether they're political equations or whether they're educational equations or whether they're just administration or family-related things. You receive everything with readiness of mind, and then you understand the precepts, the scriptural precepts behind it, and God will enlighten you as to what direction to go. That ultimately has to be something that's God-glorifying. A lot of things that are going on in light of some of these political things on both sides of the aisle are not God-glorifying. And so I take a stand of, what would Jesus say? What would he do? But what would God's kids say and do? That's where we are. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about your faith in the next segment. So we'll,
gosh, I'm in church right now. This is great.
Hang on for a second.
And I'm taking notes. Just like
hang on,
you
for
can
a
tell I'm being fed when I'm writing things down.
I like it. Offering, bring the offering over to him. He's wealthy. So
can I give you a debit card?
My listening friend Gary Kelly is a familiar voice and a familiar face in San Diego as a broadcast.
Face for radio.
He's got a face for radio.
Face for radio.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so you're talking about fake news.
Yes, I want to thank you very much for keeping me on track. I appreciate it.
I'm the co-host, and I got to keep this sucker rolling along.
Okay, well, let's talk. You've spent a bit of time as a soft news broadcaster with some
So on Channel 10 and also CW6, you know, I would do the weather.
Yes.
And then they would send me out for 10 years on Channel 10. Every Saturday and Sunday, I was at two different locations talking about fun stuff. You know, we're at the Charger parking lot. We're at the Padres. We're at the Bud. We're looking at the Budweiser boat at the boat races. Yeah. We're at OTL. We're at Over the Line. We're at Salvation Army serving meals on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Trying to do things that were lighthearted and talk to people. But as a native San Diegan, they grew up in Claremont. It was a job that I just absolutely
loved. You had to love that.
Well, because it wasn't the old adage that if it bleeds, it leads. I didn't have to talk about that kind of stuff.
But
it's good because I didn't have the knowledge.
But you were in the environment to observe things, and you probably weren't in that environment more so than most of we other people. So I'm sure that you have gleaned over the years as you observe the news and things that you go, just like from the weather perspective, there are things which are fact, and there are things that are fiction, or there are things that are political, and there's things that are not political. So I was really excited to talk with you about your opinion. You know, there's a lot of people on both sides of the aisle that are talking about fake news. Oh, the president of the United States is talking about doing fake news himself, and he's talking negative about fake news, but he's doing it. And then the other side, you know, Donald Trump and his people are going, when he's doing speaking engagements, he points out, and the camera's looking at him, point the finger across all the different newscasters and saying fake news. So I want your opinion.
I wish he'd quit doing that.
I understand, but I want your opinion on this because you're a guy who has been in the industry and also a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So your input, it would be invaluable to me.
Well, again, I'm trying to stay in the middle and not have an opinion here, but it's, you know, it's hard. It's, and I appreciate you asking. It's, you can watch Fox News and you're going to get one side of it, or you can watch MSNBC or CNN and you're going to get the other side. And you, to the point that you think, are we talking about the same story?
Exactly.
The facts are so completely different. And I can see both sides of it. If you are a CNN viewer or MSNBC or both, and that is all you watch, and that's all you hear over and over and over again, then that is your belief. It's not a fact, but it's your belief, and I have to respect that. On the other hand, if you're a conservative and you're watching Fox and they bring on opposing points of view, Democrats, etc., but they obviously have the conservative point of view, and if that's what you believe, then I applaud you for it. Where am I in all that? I'm a conservative. Of course I am. But I have friends, gosh, all my friends in the media, they're all Democrats.
Yes.
But you know, I don't bring it up. It's like, hey, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you, Bob, in 25 years. Let's ruin this lunch and talk politics.
So
I just don't bring it up.
So that's how you bridge the divide, by just not even bringing up the topic.
I don't bring it up. I have my Facebook page. I had one that I had a lot of followers because I was doing the weather on it, and I deleted it because I had, at one time made a comment, and the backlash was, I realized I could not be in politics. I do not possess the water off a duck's back.
Mm-hmm.
It was very devastating to me to be attacked. So I decided I'm using Facebook to post my grandson's photos,
yes,
my kids' photos, talk about my daughter Ashley in cheer and my son Justin in football, and I'll leave it at that. I don't want the fights, but I have a dear friend that we've been friends since second grade. We grew up together. We never talked politics. Once politics came into the conversation, there was a large, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Division?
Big division in our friendship, to where it's like, what are you going to talk about? Well, how about if we just don't talk about that?
Yes.
How about we just talk about, man, Bill, I love you. Thank you for being my friend forever,
mm-hmm,
for over 50 years. Thank you. But there was a time where I thought, wow, I've lost him. And I never got into, this is my opinion, you got to believe the way that I do. I didn't even know this person was a Democrat, but he was happy to tell me that he was.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing on another dear friend of over 30 years has totally disconnected with me. We've never even had the discussion, ever.
This scenario,
it's over politics.
This scenario is working out throughout the United States, and it's sad for me to see because I have such dear friends on both sides of the political spectrum. And to see this, you know, we have dear friends that we have Thanksgiving and do other things with, but they align on the other side. And maybe the rules are when we go there, we just don't talk about
absolutely
politics or else it can ruin good friendships. And yes. My listening friend, the thing that really troubles me is I'm a Christian and I want God's spirit to direct my life. And if you're a believer, you want that as well. And here's the thing that God gave me in the book of Acts. It talks about a guy named Gamaliel, or maybe it's not even in Acts, but it's a guy who was the guy who tutored, if you will, the Apostle Paul. And when there were different people vying against, you know, about Jesus being this or Jesus being that, Gamaliel told Paul, he said, if you're going to make a stance on something like this, you need to consider that what happens if that point of view about, in this particular instance, about Jesus being the Son of God, if that, and these people that are embracing that, what happens if they are right and you are actually fighting against God's intent? When you look back at it, you don't want to go on that side. So it's better if you're going to say be more delicate or just not deal with it, or embrace the person. And that was his instruction to Paul, who was then Saul. And he began to realize that it wasn't exactly as he had premeditations on, that Jesus Christ was Lord and is Lord indeed. And I think that Gamaliel mindset in the New Testament needs to be the mindset of all believers, no matter which side of the political aisle you align, because the bottom line is Jesus. He'll take care of those things, but you have to go for undeniable truth and make your stand.
It's true. That's very true. In fact, how much time do we have left in this?
Zero, but we'll be back for the next segment. That's a good...
Glad I asked.
Well done, Gary. I appreciate that. And my friends, because Gary says so, we'll be right back.
More Come Together San Diego with Kaz Taylor is next. FM 106.1 and AM 1210. K-Praise.
This is Pastor Jim Heidrich from Firewheel Church, and I declare over San Diego that the goodness of God is going to crash in on you with the weight of his glory because he's moving with compassion. Yes, you believe in Jesus, but Jesus believes in you, and I just affirm you in your call to greatness in Christ Jesus.
Come Together San Diego with Kaz Taylor, FM 106.1 and AM 1210, K-Praise.
And we are back with my co-host for this hour, which is approaching termination. We're almost done with the hour.
I'm used to that. I'm really
termination.
Used. You wouldn't want to fly with me.
Gary Kelly has been a friend for a long time, many, many years, and I've always known him to be a good storyteller. Some of them are actually true. So I know you want to... I know you want to spend a little bit of time putting a period on the topic of fake news, and so I'm going to let you do that. Then we're going to have you tell a little bit about your testimony and your faith.
It was, I was doing a little research today, another Gallup poll, and this was not separating left to the right. This is just overall United States adults estimate that over 60% of the news that they read in newspapers, see on television, or hear on the radio is biased. What a shock, huh? Yeah. They think the news media mostly provide accurate information, but still estimate that over 40% of what they see is inaccurate. And they believe that more than a third of the news that they see in these channels is misinformation, false or inaccurate information that is presented as if it were true.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that all the time on certain networks.
We do indeed.
And Americans, believe it or not, are even more critical of the news that they see on social media. They believe 80% is biased, 64% is inaccurate, and 65% is misinformation. But you know where I got this?
No.
The internet. Let me file that.
Yeah, exactly. There it goes in the garbage can, circular file. You know, one of the things that it troubles me is because you have to be able to discern what's accurate and not accurate. And sometimes each side has their way of framing things.
It depends on who you listen to.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's like, you know, they tell you when you're a kid, watch who you hang out with.
Yes.
Who you surround yourself with, because they can bring you down to their level.
So that's a good opportunity to segue into the faith component, because the enemy has a plan to take you away from God and godliness. He may even allow you to use your godly words, but couch them in a way where you're not really being true to Jesus and his plan for you and your life and the plan for other people's lives. So there's a supernatural battle going on in the United States and in government and in politics. We're seeing a battle going on as well. But I want to use this as a transition to you and your life and lifestyle, how Jesus has impacted you and given you a mind that actually works and a voice that people can listen to. So tell us a little bit about Gary Kelly and your faith.
Oh, it's kind of
in
you.
Four well, seconds.
And thank you very much, and have a great night, everybody.
Go ahead.
You know, in the 20s, when I was, I got into radio real young. I worked at your sister station, KCBQ, yep, when I was a junior and senior in high school. So I was 73 and 74. Again, I had my relationship with God. I said my prayers at night, but let me rephrase that. I didn't have much of a relationship. But it wasn't given it. I didn't give it that much of a thought. He was always there. I had a picture of Jesus, and I would look at him every night when I went to bed. And I had to always go find that picture. I didn't feel that the day was complete unless I did that. But I wasn't walking the walk. My lifestyle was completely different. You know, the rock and roll lifestyle. I won't say I was Ozzy Osbourne. None of that.
No.
But it was certainly not the person that I am today. Do I have regrets? Sure. Am I thankful I'm alive? You bet. There was interesting from in my rock and roll era working at KPRI, playing all these classic songs that today they refer to as classic rock. Back then it was just rock. Mm-hmm. It was...
Well, but hard rock, and then there was the top 40 as well. They differentiated
right,
it that
right.
way.
So something that hit me today when I was driving over here is that Sundays were my least... Now again, this is when I'm playing rock and roll on the radio. Sundays... or it was my least favorite day of the week. I felt incredibly uncomfortable. I felt uneasy, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I always felt like I needed to be around somebody. I didn't like to be alone. And then I realized later the problem was I wasn't going to church. Mm-hmm. That's what I was missing in my life. The Holy Spirit was tugging at my heartstrings, but I didn't know what the tug meant until 1993 when I became a Christian. And how I did it? Was spying on my ex-wife. God has a good sense of humor. Ray Bentley at Maranatha, my wife at the time and her new love, started going to church twice a week. And she was Catholic. I was a Christian. We went to church on Easter and Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to see what it was all about. Well, after a couple of weeks of spying on her, I started listening to Pastor Ray Bentley. And he's the one that saved me.
I got to tell you about Ray Bentley. He's one of my favorite people. I mean, he's so heartfelt and he's so transparent and honest about it's not accolades. It's true life and lifestyle from him.
I've been blessed that I had him in my life, and Pastor Jim Garlow, who I just heard on this radio station about mm-hmm. 15 minutes ago, we're friends. And just having those people in my life, the people at the church. I currently watch Rick Warren every Sunday morning from Saddleback. He feeds me. He gives me what I'm looking for. This is my biggest story about my faith, and this is something I'm always happy to tell anybody, especially a non-believer. When I went through my divorce in 1993, I had two little girls that were 2 and 3 years old, 2 and 4 years old. They were my life. They were everything to me. My ex-wife took my children out of state to go be with her new husband. I was an everyday dad. I took them to school. We did mm-hmm. our homework. We did everything together. I could no longer be a dad. And it broke my heart. I got on my knees in the parking lot that I used to ride my bicycle to in Claremont, and I prayed. I said, God, I turn this over to you. I've been listening that I'm supposed to let you handle all of this. I've been trying to fix it myself, and I can't. So I turn it all over to you. Exactly 2 weeks later, my oldest daughter, Kristen, who was 4, called me and said, Daddy, we're coming home.
My. And, you know, my listening friend, I know this is tugging at your heart. And Gary, remarkable, what a story, but it's a heartfelt story. And one of the things that I want you to know, my listening friend, is God is saying, he wants you to say, Father, I'm coming home. My listening friend, because that's his heart cry, as Gary mentioned this as well, that I want to encourage you as Gary Kelly and I wind up this show. God wants you to come home as well. if you're already home, but you're just playing around, then you're coming back and acting like you're the good son. He wants you to come back and have an intimate relationship with him. And
is this an altar call on the radio?
It is an altar call,
Gosh,
Jerry, and you were responsible for setting the stage for this.
You know, no, it's purely because of God that I have my wife Stacy. We met in church. We have two kids, Justin who's 7, Ashley who's 15, and my older daughter's Kristen, the one that said, Daddy, I'm coming home. She's the first doctor in the family. She's in her third year of her residency. And Andrea, my sweetheart, is 29 and gave me my first grandson. And it's all because of God. My life completely changed.
Gary Kelly, thank you for joining me for this hour. It went quickly. We delved in a lot of areas.
Well, tell you what,
climate change.
I'll invite
news.
You back on the show. You can come back sometime and we'll do this again.
Gary Kelly, thank you for joining me. We had fun and we're out of time here, but my listening friend, we do this every week from 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturdays. It's called Come Together San Diego. Gary Kelly, thank you for co-hosting with me.
Thank you,
We've
guys.
Had a great time. And my listening friend, God bless you. See you next week.
Thanks for joining Chaz Taylor and his many friends, including you, for Come Together San Diego. Join us again next week as we explore what unity in the body of Christ sounds like within this county and beyond on Come Together San Diego. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker, and then let's all come together San Diego next Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. on FM 106.1 and AM 1210 K-Praise.